You're listening to Leading and Learning. This is the place where we talk about practical leadership, theology, fitness, how to create winning habits, and so much more. My name's David Spell, and I'm a retired police officer, a pastor, a New Testament scholar, and a leadership coach. My goal on Leading and Learning is to help you live your best life. Thanks so much for joining us today. Welcome back to Leading and Learning. This is episode number 455. Why do Christians believe in the resurrection? Now, of course, when we say that, we're talking about Jesus' resurrection from the dead. And I'm recording this just a couple of weeks before Easter. And this is always such an important thing to consider. Because, you know, in the world, I think people look down on Christians and they kind of think, oh, those poor, dumb Christians, those poor, foolish Christians actually believing that Jesus rose from the dead. I mean, we know science tells us that once you're dead, you're dead. And there's no coming back from that. And Jesus, not only Christians believe, and the Bible teaches that Jesus not only rose from the dead, he rose to a new type of life. Paul calls it, he says that he was the first fruit of God's new way of living. And so it's a powerful thing, but I want us to look at three different reasons why Christians believe in the resurrection. This isn't just a good idea. This isn't just something that we hope happened. This is absolutely crucial to our faith. The entirety of Christianity hinges on Jesus rising from the dead. In fact, Paul said that if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, we're all wasting our time. We're of all men most to be pitied if Jesus didn't rise from the dead. So I want to look at three different areas. The first one I want to look at, again, we're talking about reasons why Christians actually believe this crazy idea that Jesus rose from the dead, never to die again, and also promising that we could look forward to that as well. The first reason is documentary evidence. Documentary evidence. Now, of course, we're talking, first of all, about the Scripture, but not just the Scripture. But when we're talking about the Scripture, I want to give you just a couple of things. First of all, we'll start with the earlier writings. And when we say the earlier writings, of course, most people think the Gospels. Well, the Gospels weren't the earliest documents written. Paul's letters, actually the letter of James, was probably the first, one of the earliest letters in the New Testament. But Paul's letters were also written probably within 15 to 20 years after Jesus was crucified, was resurrected, and was eventually ascended back into heaven. And so I want to give a couple of passages of Scripture. And the first one I want to talk from is 1 Corinthians 15. And Paul actually lays it out for us. He says this in 1 Corinthians 15. And the entire chapter is worth reading. If you haven't read 1 Corinthians 15 in a while and you're interested, you want to kind of refresh yourself on what this resurrection thing is, read 1 Corinthians 15 because it's Paul's most detailed study of what the resurrection truly meant. But listen to what he says. He starts off in, we'll start in verse 3. He says, I passed on to you what was most important and what had also been passed on to me. Christ died for our sins, just as the Scriptures said. He was buried. He was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the Scriptures said. He was seen by Peter, and then by the 12, and after that, he was seen by more than 500 of his followers at one time, most of whom are still alive today, though some have died. Then he was seen by James, and later by all the apostles, and last of all, as though I had been born at the wrong time, I also saw him. For I am the least of all the apostles. In fact, I'm not even worthy to be called an apostle after the way I persecuted God's church. So here Paul is actually laying out a legal witness list, if you like, of those who saw Jesus after his resurrection and interacted with him. And of course, there were also the women who were at the tomb on that Sunday morning who saw Jesus resurrected, glorified. The reason Paul doesn't mention them here is, remember, women didn't have as many rights, and their testimony wouldn't even be considered valid. So Paul's giving the list of men here. He understood the way culture worked. But when you read the Gospels, and I would encourage you to check out the different accounts. There's four different accounts of the resurrection of Jesus from the dead in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And each one is a little bit different, but they all convey the same message that Jesus is alive. And of course, we mentioned the women. In each of the Gospels, we find women who were the very first ones to be witnesses to the resurrection. So in the New Testament, we have documentary evidence. We've got Paul's letters. We've got the Gospels. Really, each letter in some way emphasizes the power and the importance of the resurrection. And this is so important that it's mentioned throughout the New Testament. In Acts, the Acts of the Apostles, the history of the early church after Jesus was gone, one of the requirements to be an apostle was that you had to be a witness of the resurrection. You had to have seen Jesus after he was raised from the dead. And so that's how important it was considered when Peter and the other apostles were filling the slot that Judas Iscariot left. So these are the Gospels, these are the letters. The New Testament itself conveys this beautiful story, this beautiful testimony that Jesus was raised from the dead. But also we have other documentary evidence. We have Josephus. Josephus was a Jewish historian, and in the year 93, he published his history of the Jews. And while discussing the period in which the Jews of Judea were governed by the Roman governor, Pontius Pilate, Joseph included an account about Jesus. Now, understand up front, Josephus has never been considered a Christian by historians. Maybe he was, maybe he wasn't. And this account that I'm about to read has definitely been criticized. Some have even said that it was a forgery, that Josephus would have never said this. I don't know. You be the judge. But this is what Josephus allegedly said. This is what's written in his account of his history of the Jews. He said, "About this time, there lived Jesus, a wise man, if indeed one ought to call him a man. For he was one who performed surprising deeds and was a teacher of such people as accept the truth gladly. He won over many Jews and many of the Greeks. He was the Messiah. And when upon the accusation of the principal men among us, Pilate had condemned him to a cross, those who had first come to love him did not cease. He appeared to them, spending a third day restored to life, for the prophets of God had foretold these things and a thousand other marvels about him. And the tribe of the Christians, so called after him, has still to this day not disappeared." And this was supposedly written in the year 93, so, you know, about 60 years after the events. So, there's other documentary evidence. Tacitus, a Roman historian, referred to Jesus causing problems and being crucified under Pontius Pilate. Of course, he doesn't mention the resurrection, but he does attest to the historicity of Jesus and his being put to death. So there's documentary evidence that we talked about from the Gospels and even from Josephus that talk about Jesus being raised from the dead. Don't go away. We will be right back. I just wanted to let you know this episode of Leading and Learning is brought to you by my book, Reflections on the Resurrection. Reflections on the Resurrection is really a handbook, a guide, a study of the importance of the resurrection. We look at why it's so important, the theology of the resurrection, but we also look at the arguments against the resurrection. You know, there's been so many made, but we also look, as we're doing here in this podcast, about some of the evidence for the resurrection. This book is educational, it's devotional, but it's also apologetic because we do want to defend what the Scriptures say. So by all means, check out Reflections on the Resurrection. It's easy to read. It's a good book. I think if I did write it, I'm a little bit biased, but it's a great book for personal study, for group study. Click on the link. You can go to Amazon and read the first chapter for free, and I know you will love it. All right, well, we've been talking about why Christians believe in the resurrection, and the first reason is the documentary evidence. I mean, let's face it, we live 2,000 years after these events, and so the documents, the New Testament, even some of the historical documents that we referred to come into play, but especially the Gospels that in the letters of Paul and others. The New Testament is very, very powerful. It's a very powerful testimony to the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. But the second reason why Christians believe in the resurrection is the empty tomb. The empty tomb. Physical evidence. You know, it was alleged by the Jewish leaders who had put Jesus to death that the disciples had come in the middle of the night and had stolen his body and then said he was, the disciples went and said he was alive. They stole his body and then went around telling everybody that he was alive. Well, this makes no sense for several reasons. First of all, the Roman soldiers that were guarding the tomb were trained. This is a trained military force. They're not going to let a group of ragtag fishermen and farmers and tax collectors come get past them and break into the tomb and steal the body of a condemned criminal. It's just not going to happen. It makes no sense at all. The easiest thing for us to when we look at this physical evidence, we have to ask, well, where did the body go? The disciples very soon after this took place were being arrested and persecuted for their faith. James, the brother of John, was put to death for his faith. In fact, all of the apostles, with the exception of Judas Iscariot, who betrayed Jesus, and John, the apostle, who wrote the Gospels, the letters, and probably Revelation, John was the only one who didn't die a martyr's death. Of course, Judas killed himself, but the other 10 died nasty, violent deaths at the hand of the government and or other persecutors. And if this was a hoax, if they had stolen the body of Jesus, it would have been very easy to save their lives. All they would have to do is produce the body. Hey guys, we were just kidding. Here's his body. And, we really don't want to be thrown to the lions or to the bears or, or crucified or whatever terrible death you have for us. So the empty tomb is a very, very important piece of physical evidence. The disciples, when they went to the tomb in each of the Gospels, there was no mystery. The tomb was empty. The clothes that he had been wrapped in, the cloth that he had been wrapped in, were all laying there, but there was no body. So the empty tomb is a very, very important piece of physical evidence. And then the third reason Christians believe in the resurrection of Jesus, and this is so important, and it's this, it's the changed lives of the disciples. The disciples were not expecting Jesus to rise from the dead. There's no evidence whatsoever that they were expecting Jesus to rise from the dead. In fact, he had told them, and Peter rebuked him. He said, no, you know, God forbid, you can't die, Jesus. We need you. There was no evidence that they actually believed that. If they were, if that was the case, they'd have been waiting there on Sunday morning for him to come out of the tomb. The reality is a crucified Messiah is a cursed Messiah. Jesus wasn't the first Messiah. He wasn't the last Messiah. And the Messiahs who were crucified and put to death by the Roman government, their movement, their followers just faded away. Because to be crucified was to be cursed by God. It says in the Old Testament that cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree. And the irony is Jesus was cursed for us, but it was to bear our sins. So what we see is, we're talking about the changed lives of Jesus' followers here. So what we see is these guys who were hiding under their beds, hiding in the closet, scared to death that the Roman soldiers were going to come arrest them and crucify them next, within just a few weeks are now out testifying boldly and loudly that this Jesus, who the religious leaders, in conjunction with the Romans, had put to death, was alive and that they had seen him. And, of course, then the persecution started. And you know, some people, you see, as we said in the second point, these guys died violent, nasty deaths for their faith. There are not many people, I can't think of anybody that's going to die for a hoax. I can't think of anybody who's going to say, okay, we stole his body, we lied and said he's alive, and now we're going to go, you know, be thrown to the lions or be crucified and set on fire and you know, is a torch for Nero's garden. There just weren't many Christians. I can't imagine any Christians then or now who would die that horrific death for a hoax. Their lives were changed because they had spent 40 days with the resurrected and living Jesus. They ate with him. They hung out with him. They spent time together over that 40-day period. We only get a few snapshots of what they talked about in different things, but Jesus spent that 40 days with them, preparing them and equipping them to carry on his ministry after he was gone. So the changed lives of Jesus' disciples is another important piece of evidence, another important reason why Christians believe in the resurrection. In fact, Peter stood before the religious leaders who had condemned Jesus and had him put to death just a few weeks later. And, you know, they said they had conducted a miraculous healing. They had healed a lame man, and now they were put on trial for it. And Peter said, you know, this man that you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, he's the one who has given us the power to do this. There was nothing they could say. Peter's boldness, his fear, his timidity, even denying Jesus, was now transformed because he had spent time with the risen Jesus. So why do Christians believe in the resurrection? As we move towards Easter, why do Christians believe that Jesus was raised from the dead? Well, there's documentary evidence, the New Testament. Very, very powerful documents that detail this amazing event, historical event. We also have the empty tomb, a very powerful piece of physical evidence. There's no body. And then, of course, the changed lives of Jesus' followers. And those changed lives of Jesus' followers, especially when you add the power of the Holy Spirit that they experienced on Pentecost, literally changed the world in the first century. Well, I'd love to hear from you. What are some other reasons why Christians believe in the resurrection? Maybe you're not a believer. Maybe you don't believe that Jesus was raised from the dead. I'd love to hear from you. What are your thoughts? When we talk about the things we talked about today, what does this do? How does this make you feel? And I'd love to know your thoughts on the matter as well. If you have a question or comment, by all means, go to davidspell.com, leave a question or a comment in the comment section for today's post. While you're there, make sure you sign up to get my free newsletter so that we can stay in touch. And I just want to say a big thank you for being with me. And we will see you next week on Leading In.